Philippians 1, verses 12 through 18. Philippians 1, 12 through 18. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Let us pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son to the cross for us. Thank you for your Apostle Paul. Thank you for your inspired word. Help us to open our hearts tonight, Father, for what it says about you and about your will and about your servants. Help us to broaden our understanding and just help us to be thankful for everything that you have given to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture, because it gives us insight into the heart, the core, the very essence of what Paul was about as a bondservant of Christ. You look at his life and service, and it is difficult not to come away from this inspired. You look at the things that Paul faced and the obstacles that he overcame. You look at the consistency and the endurance of his ministry. The fact that Paul is still preaching to us today through divinely inspired writings. You look at all of that with awe, and you realize that it was not Paul who did those things, but that it was God that did those things, the God that Paul served. Paul would have been the first one to tell you that he was not extraordinary, but he served an extraordinary God. He strived and struggled to advance the kingdom of the one true living God. But still we marvel at the attitude of Paul, and we understand that he was entirely open to what God had for him, and that his focus was never on himself, but always on Christ. God was able to take someone who had been openly hostile to him and turn him into one of his strongest and greatest evangelists. The focus of Paul's life after his conversion, his calling, was to proclaim the gospel of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God had used Paul to start the first church in Europe at Philippi. Philippians is a prison epistle written while Paul was imprisoned in Rome to the church in Philippi. The church loved Paul, and of course, he loved them right back. When they had found out that he had been imprisoned, they had sent him a generous gift through Epaphroditus. Paul recounts in chapter 4, the very well-known passage, 11 through 14, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble." Immediately following this in the epistle, Paul recounts all the times that the church had blessed him in his ministry. When he departed from Macedonia, no other church had helped except for the church at Philippi. Paul states that he was not seeking the gifts, but what was important was that they were growing in the things of the Lord and storing up eternal treasures in heaven. Another reason Paul was writing to them was to encourage them in their walk with Christ. The amazing thing about that is that he was doing that while he was imprisoned in Rome. He was facing possible execution, and where was his mind at? Certainly not on himself, but rather on what God had for him to do. This past summer, my family, my younger brother, my parents got together and bought us a subscription to Netflix. Occasionally, Rebecca and I will watch stuff on it. Different documentaries. Some of them are very good. Some of them are not so good. One we watched a month or so ago dealt with a prison down in Alabama and their death row. And it told the story of an inmate who had been on death row and was scheduled to be executed. And he is taking you through the day of his execution. And then at the very last minute, somebody called. I don't know if it was the governor or a committee, but his sentence was commuted from death to life in prison. And I remember sitting there afterwards and trying to imagine what that must have been like to go through. We all die a physical death on this earth unless the Lord returns first. But not many of us know when it is coming or how. And I think that that would be a very difficult situation for us to be in. And I think that it would be very hard to think of anyone but ourselves or how we were to get out of that if that is what we were facing. Now here is Paul in a prison in Rome, far worse than any prison we can imagine here in America, facing execution, and he is able to rejoice because the good news of Christ is reaching people, and he is still able to serve God. One thing I want to address before we go any further is how Paul was able to do this. Paul was an ordinary person like you or I. He was a sinner, and even more than that, he saw himself as among the worst of sinners. Pastor Don referenced this morning, 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul was able to be an incredible witness for Christ because Paul had a relationship with Christ. He had the indwelling Holy Spirit, and God had work for him to do. If we are saved, so do we. Now I'm getting a bit far ahead, but I wanted to illuminate some of this so that we do not fall prey to putting on the blinders and setting the cruise control, because Philippians is such a well-known book of the Bible. We need to remind ourselves that Paul was a real flesh and blood person, and what God was able to do through him is amazing. In verse 12 we read, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." The last time we were in 1 Thessalonians, and there as well was Paul imparting knowledge to the church. we sometimes forget that they did not have access to the Bible or even the complete Bible like we have today. The New Testament was not complete, so you might have part of it, but a lot of the churches and believers did not have access to the Scripture back then or the amount of Scripture that we can enjoy today. So a lot of them had to be told or taught. We do know that they had the book of Philippians, though I wonder sometimes if they realized that it would be included in the Bible at the time that they were reading it. The church in Philippi were believers, but they are still learning and growing as Paul is writing to them. As Christians, we should always strive to learn more about God and to grow in the things of the Lord, because until He returns, or until we go to glory, we still have more we can do. Paul is sharing the great truth of his present circumstances and the blessing that it has brought from God as the result. Paul is in prison, as I've said, facing death, but there is something going on, something wonderful, something better, and that is that people are being preached and reached by the gospel of Christ. The word used for furtherance in the Greek actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel means progress or advancement. Paul could see what God was doing through his imprisonment. Now, God does not always reveal what He is doing in our lives. Pastor Don has described it as the narrow window of our experience. We think of Job and Jacob and even Joseph. They did not always see what God was doing in their lives at the time He was doing it. We are not told that Job was ever told what God was doing in his life. In the case of Jacob, he must have thought the world was coming to an end when Benjamin was imprisoned in Egypt. Joseph, I don't think, doubted much. We are not told that he did. We read in Genesis 50:20, Joseph talking to his brothers after his identity has been revealed to them. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." Paul's calling from God was to spread the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Messiah. We talk about how amazing Paul was. I remember back to one of the very first tweeners we did, and we were sitting around discussing Paul, and Alex pointed out something that I had read, but that really hadn't ever sunk in for me. So in the first four verses of Romans 9, and this is Paul writing, we read, "I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises." Paul wished to renounce his salvation if it meant that others could hear and understand and accept salvation. Paul took his calling, his mission, his ministry very seriously. Everything that God had given to him went into his call, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. God used Paul's imprisonment to reach unbelievers with the gospel. Because he was imprisoned, Paul was able to reach those he normally would not have access to. Even though he was without his freedom, Paul never lost sight of who he was really enslaved to, and that was Christ. The external circumstances did not matter to Paul. All that mattered was that God had called him to preach Christ. Paul's focus after his conversion was spreading the gospel. I am sure Paul proclaimed the gospel to everybody that he came into contact with. To Paul, whose heart was for God, every fiber in his being was about telling people about Christ and what he had done on the cross for them. Any guards he came into contact with, other prisoners, the people who brought him his food, were all opportunities to share the gospel. And I was thinking this past week about this, and it made me also think about how we work for God regardless of where we are, regardless of what the present circumstances in our lives happen to be. We look around and have fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that have the focus that we should have also. And that is that Christ is everything. We get so distracted by life. It doesn't matter if we're the owner of a business or the guy sweeping the floor. If we are true Christians, we are truly working for Christ wherever we find ourselves and whatever we find ourselves doing. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I read about how God used Paul and get inspired. But imagine for a moment what it must have been like to see Paul and to interact with him. You read through the gospel and the book of Acts with even more awe, because Paul, while amazing, was just a mere shadow compared to the Christ that he served. What would it have been like to see Christ, or spoken to Christ, or heard Christ teach? Now, I do not want to stray too far off the mark, but we sometimes forget that God became man. He dwelt among us to seek and to save that which was lost. Do we realize how amazing that is? The brethren in Christ saw Paul and how he was imprisoned and how he was not turned away from preaching Christ. And they were emboldened by his example. They were emboldened to speak the word of God without fear. Now, we in this country at the moment live in a free democracy. We have a freedom that is not enjoyed everywhere in the world, and yet oftentimes we are driven by fear. We are afraid that this is going to happen or that is going to happen. We are afraid to share the greatest gift we've ever been given. We have salvation from Christ. We enjoy a relationship with our Creator. He gave us His Word to reveal Himself to us and to guide and direct our lives. Our eternal salvation is assured and secured. There is nothing and no one who can take that from us. There are people outside of those doors, maybe even inside this sanctuary, that are lost and do not have what we have. We have opportunities to share the gospel every single day. But we do not because we are afraid. We are afraid to be rejected. We are afraid to look foolish. We are afraid to share the gospel. Be bold. We are set apart by God as Christians, but we do not act as if we are set apart. we blend in, we hide in the shadows, rather than stand in the light and proclaim the gospel to anyone who will listen and even to those who will not. Well, Pastor Adam, that sounds easy, but it's a lot harder when you get out in the real world. It is not hard. We make it hard. We have God with us. We have God within us. We have a relationship with Him. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. It only seems hard because of our past experiences. Maybe we've talked to people in the past about Christ and they have not heard or understood, or they've laughed at us or turned away or mocked us openly. And we throw up our hands and we walk away. God is the only one that can save. Our job is to share in the clearest possible way the gospel and leave the rest to God. Now, how do we do that? We do that through discipline and consistency. And we do that with God. We need to wake up every single morning and thank God for that day and then ask God, who are we going to reach today with your gospel? We need to prepare before we step out the front door. We need to first make sure that we understand what the gospel is, and it does not have to be complex. The gospel of Christ is very simple. We are all sinners. God is complete and holy, which presents the problem, because He will not tolerate sin. So He sent His one and only Son, whom He loved, to come to earth, live a sinless life as a man, and to willingly go to the cross as a one-time sacrifice for our sin. He was buried. His sacrifice was sufficient, and He rose again on the third day with eternal life for all who believe. He ascended and sits at the right hand of God the Father and makes intercession for us, and He will be coming again. It's simple. We have to be disciplined, however, and consistent in asking God for opportunities and then stepping up when those opportunities present themselves. There may be times when it is a one-shot deal and you present the entire gospel and you may never see that person again. Other times it might be something that evolves over time as you develop a relationship with people and they see your witness and example and they listen to you as you talk to them. The gospel can be presented in different ways, but there is only one gospel. We need to be open to what God puts before us. You can't force anyone to Christ, but that does not mean that we are not to be ready to present Christ when the opportunity arises. Well, I'd like to, but I never have the opportunity. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life, you have the opportunity to share Christ. You may only have a small window. The guy at the store checking you out, the waitress at the restaurant giving you a refill on your water. You pray for those opportunities. When they arrive, we have to be ready. We must also never, never forget that it is Christ who saves and not us. God can use us, and we pray that He will, but our part in it is to be ready to be used by God when He calls. The opportunities are all around us, but we either fail to recognize them or we fail to seize them for whatever reason. we must not be ashamed. We must be bold. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. Paul saw things so clearly. The motivations of those who were preaching Christ, of those who were sharing the same gospel that he was sharing, the motivation was good for some and not good from others. But Paul's focus was not on the fact that in some cases the gospel was being proclaimed for the wrong reasons. Paul knew God, and therefore he knew that for whatever reason it was being preached, whether from goodwill or from envy, God would use it for good to those who knew him. Oftentimes we see people with the wrong focus or motivation, and it is easy to get discouraged. This is something that I tell Abby, and I feel like a hypocrite afterwards because I struggle with this myself. I say to her, don't worry about why anybody else is doing anything. Just focus on what you are doing for God. We need to keep our focus on Christ and not always on the motivation of others. As I said, it did not matter to Paul why the gospel was being preached, only that Christ was being proclaimed. In verse 17 we read, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Those who had the right motivation for proclaiming Christ were motivated by love and confidence in Paul, but more important than that, confidence in Christ. Paul was in prison because that is where God wanted him to be. It was an advantageous place to proclaim the gospel. In doing so, he was able to share Christ and had the opportunity to also inspire others to do the same. We need to be ready to defend the gospel and the word of God, not because God needs us to, because he doesn't, but because it can be a strong witness to our other believers. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. Paul is a wonderful example of how we are to live. The thing I want us to take from this tonight, that I pray we take from this, are not the circumstances that Paul found himself in, but how he reacted to them. Christ was everything to Paul. And when Christ was preached, Paul rejoiced. He did not rejoice because of where he was or what he was facing. He rejoiced because Christ was being proclaimed and he was a part of it. We, like Paul, need to rejoice in the fact that we serve a God who can take any circumstance, and use it for his good purpose, for our good, and for His glory. We need to make sure that our life, our focus, our motivations are on Christ. Are we focused on Him, or are we focused on something else? Do we rejoice when He is glorified? Let us pray. Father God, I thank You for Your message. I thank You for the example that we have in Paul, and more than his example, the example that we have in Christ. Help us to keep our motivations and our focus on You, Father. Help it to be the most important thing in our life that Christ is proclaimed. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your absolute holiness. In Jesus' name, amen.